Yeah.
And now it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned, right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Nima Fiend. Nima Fiend. Yo,
that's me.
Tyranny is horrible, but the fiends are cunning, baffling, and powerful.
Fiend phone.
Oh,
fiend
wow.
Phone.
Really?
That was quick.
Fiend phone.
Let's take it.
Fiend. Hey, Fiend, you're on the air.
Fiend.
Who's this? Really? Hey, man, what's up?
Who is this?
This is Blake from Arkansas.
What's up, Blake from Arkansas?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. I just wanted to congratulate Nima V on that sick shotgun scabbard he got.
It's weird. I guess that's the magic of Facebook, or maybe it's a sign from the universe, but I actually made that like a year ago because I got obsessed with making stuff out of Kydex, and I was like playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption, and the dude in Red Dead Redemption has that badass scabbard on his back that he pulls any long gun out of, shotguns, rifles, you name it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so I was like, I got to make myself one of those, and so I did. And then I didn't give it any thought. Well, I gave it a little bit of thought. We were like, well, maybe I could start doing that and selling those. And then about a week ago, Michael says, hey, the domain we got, which is anarchyholsters.com, was about to be up for renewal. And I was like, I don't know if I want to or not. But all of a sudden, somebody liked that picture on Facebook, and now everybody's talking about it. And maybe I will. Maybe I will renew it and do something about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'd be possible to get one that fits my Saiga 12.
That would be awesome. Well, if it would fit your Saiga, it could fit pretty much any AK then, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'd be better off with a sling, but God can dream, right?
Yeah, right. Hey, I could try, man. I could try.
So how'd you hear about the fiends?
Well, I've been listening since it was the Guns and Weed podcast. Actually.
Really? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
I was kind of upset when the name changed just because it was pretty ballin', but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, we wanted to reach more people, though, so we kind of – I guess you could say we softened it, but I don't think we really softened it because – anybody who would like something called Guns and Weed, I think already thinks pretty much like we do. And we are all about finding new converts, you know, spreading the message. Our 12th tradition is that we – no, wait, I'm sorry.
Well, I was thinking the other day we should do a sequel to Guns and Weed and call it Assault Rifles and Heroin or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. Well, only if the heroin is dispensed through vending machines that are privately owned and for profit.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know, there's a bill going into Congress right now that will legalize weed or basically make it like alcohol, regulate it, tax it, which doesn't sound fun. And
that's so clear.
Yeah. And the really horrendous thing, I thought this was a joke when I saw it, but it would involve changing the ATF from alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives to alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, firearms, and explosives.
Yeah.
And I literally, I mean, this sounds really egotistical and like I'm the center of the universe, but I'm wondering if our movie had anything to do with that. Because right after our movie came out, very shortly after it came out and started getting attention, the ATF issued a letter to sheriffs and marijuana dispensaries that you had to basically pick one or the other. You couldn't be a medical marijuana card holder with a concealed carry permit. And now that they're coming up with this, I'm just really wondering if it's a reaction to it. I mean, that's kind of, kind of
ever
insane,
since
but
it came out, it really created ripples over the internet. There's a lot of people talking ANCAP now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were ANCAP before it was hip.
That's right.
But not like Ben Quaker. Ben Quaker was ANCAP before, you know, 10 years before us, before anyone had heard of it. Yeah, when Ben Quaker became an ANCAP, Nima was writing essays in high school about how great Bill Clinton is, and I was in San Francisco voting for Nancy Pelosi as my congresswoman.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you know, it's San Francisco. It's perpetually 3 laws away from utopia, right?
Yeah. And, you know, England is going to England is requiring that all dogs be chipped by next year.
Wonder how long it'll take for kids.
Well, I think that they'll have some campaign that makes it look really friendly to have the National Dog Health chip your pet, and you know, they'll have cartoons showing you that it's a good thing to do and soften you up for when they do it for people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for the children, right?
Yep. Well, what else you got there, man? We got to get back to our show. We just started it, but it's really good having you call in. You got any closing arguments?
Not particularly. I just wanted to give a shout out. So you guys are doing a great job. Big fan. Really like what you're doing.
Tell two friends, man. Tell two friends.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
You're awesome.
Worms.
All right. How's it going, guys? Bye.
Bye.
All right. Peace.
That was cool. You know,
It's always awesome to get a call at the beginning of the show, somebody saying you're awesome. That makes you feel good.
I know.
Thank you, buddy.
It's always, and we tend to get calls when I remember to turn on the call-in computer.
Right.
Which yeah. I did today.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, man, people, see, you were so upset with me when I told you I was going to make a shotgun scabbard, a back holster, I think I called it, and wear it outside in public. And you were like, no, man, you're going to get thrown to the ground and shot. Although I guess I haven't. I have worn it in public to and from my car, but not anywhere else.
You have to get it fashionable, man. You have to get like Jay-Z to model one or Beyonce.
Yeah.
That won't happen.
That's what I really want to have happen with Anarchy Holsters is do something to where it's cool to show your holster.
Get Jeffrey Tucker in his bow tie wearing one in front of his bookshelf.
See, he admits that he is a wuss. He says, I'm such a wuss that I want you to carry the guns for me so I don't have to.
That's even better. You know, I mean, models often model things they don't use or believe in.
Ah.
You know, they're just based on really handsome, and hey, he's a handsome guy. Yeah, you're not going to get Beyonce to do it. She really likes Barack Obama from the Gunvermint.
She does. And I guess, here's what I'm going to do. To ease my cognitive dissonance is I'm going to blame Beyonce for the reason Jay-Z likes Barack.
Yeah.
I don't think Jay-Z would, but his wife's probably all like, you better support my president. And Jay-Z's like, yeah, okay.
I like what someone said. The ATF regulates all the stuff that will be currency when the state collapses. Alcohol, cigarettes, ammo, and now I guess marijuana.
Yeah. Well, you see, it's at least there's a conversation in federal Congress because there really hasn't been at all, like in the past. So I guess it's kind of a positive step. And I think the ATF plus marijuana was just one of the ideas they were bouncing around. One thing that they were also bouncing around in this discussion was basically rescheduling it to where it would be up to the states to decide how to deal with it, which would be pretty much the best thing the feds
Wyoming
could do.
Would schedule it as kiddie porn. They'd be like, Schedule 1 isn't heavy enough. We need to make it worse. Speaking of Wyoming, Matt Mead, our toothless, no-ass governor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Talk about what he did.
Well, he was in this article, a San Francisco, the SF Gate wrote up an article saying...
They were just reposting what was on the Tribune... And I didn't link the Tribune because the Tribune has a paywall.
They were, but when people from across the nation read it, they're going to be reading the San Francisco version of
the
article.
They're going to be like, oh, good, a Republican who's not insane. He wants to ban guns.
Exactly.
You and I went and filmed him at a gun range, and there is video proving that he was singing a different tune when he was running for governor. As David Kadria said, boy, they sure sing a different tune when they want something. We have him on video from K2 TV saying, you know, I think the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act is a great thing, and I'll enforce it, and blah, blah, blah. And now he's
The thing is, first of all, I wish to God I would have kept that raw. So that's news you can use. Never delete raw footage of a politician saying something because he's going to flip-flop on it one day and you want to throw that in his face.
Did you film him saying, when Obama got elected, I went out and bought 6 AR Bushmasters because I thought he was going to outlaw them? Because he said that to you and like basically saying, I bought a bunch of guns that are going to be illegal that I'm going to keep after they're, you know, why else would you buy them if you're not going to break the law to keep them? That's basically what I heard from it.
Well, he made it a point to show us that because he didn't even shoot that gun at the range that day.
He shot my gun, man.
Right. Well, he brought it out. I have footage of him shooting my revolver. He had one of his guys. He's like, hey, you know, goon. I don't know what the guy's name was, but one of his assistants. He was like, hey, bring me that thing, and brought out a .223 assault rifle and showed it to us and was like, yeah, I bought like 20 of these when Obama got elected. But the thing is, he seemed disingenuous from the start. Even when I interviewed him, because the concept, for people who haven't heard this before, was there was a governor's race in Wyoming. Republicans were vying for the spot because it was an incumbent Democrat. And so I went around asking everybody, including the one Democrat who was running, how they felt about the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act and if they would enforce it. And at that time, the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act said that if a federal agent tries to enforce gun laws, federal gun laws on any gun made and manufactured within Wyoming, they can be thrown in jail for a year and pay a $1,000 fine. And everybody was all for it except for the Democrat. But Matt Mead, he felt so slick when he was saying it. He felt like such a politician. Like,
well, he was a federal attorney. You know, you don't undo right. the zebra stripes.
No, you don't. And that's what he said in this San Francisco article is, how are we gonna tell federal agents not to do their job, guys? Come on.
Yeah.
Basically his argument.
Yeah.
Because he used to be one of those federal employees.
No, he was like, he was the boss of the boss of the boss of the federal agents.
Right, right. But still, he was in the employ of the federal
government.
In a way,
yeah.
That's, well, yeah, in a way. He was a federal attorney, man. He was part of the federal system.
He wasn't the boss of the boss of the boss of the goons, but he was the guy who throws you in.
He was an enabler.
He's the guy who puts you in the rape me in the butt prison after the federal goons have brought you in handcuffs and tased you and maced you.
Exactly. He was the piece that somehow people think legitimizes it. He was the supposed independent judge.
He also bragged in a press release before he was running for governor about how many people he had put in prison for being felons in possession of a gun. And Wyoming, that often means, you know, 5-10 years ago, you got caught with a dime bag of meth in your pocket. You've never hurt anybody, and you're carrying a gun for defense. You know, so he's bragging that he threw nonviolent people in federal pound me in the butt prison.
Yeah. And we had called this. We had predicted that Mead was going to be flip-floppy on this in lots of casts, especially when we were talking about the new Wyoming's Firearm Freedom Act, which is even better. Right now.
This is the one that he's saying, I don't know, fellows. And this one basically is the same as the other one, except it's not just guns made in Wyoming. It's guns owned in Wyoming.
Exactly, which is the beautiful part of it, because with the guns made in Wyoming thing, there were only like 3 gun manufacturers. And I went and interviewed them, or at least talked to them on the phone, the ones I couldn't drive to. And they told me, no, hell no, we're not going to be the one to test this. We don't want to be the test case. Why would we want to do that? That's silly. Why would we want to ruin our business to go to the Supreme Court?
And a lot of them sell like $10,000 handmade grandpa's hunting rifles, single shot. You know,
or
like 5.7.5 Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, elephant guns.
Right.
Guns that the average person doesn't own. Or, you know, 5.45 Casual revolvers that are elephant, you know, assault revolvers. Like stuff that costs thousands of dollars that the average person doesn't own.
To where the only Wyoming resident that owns one of those is Dick Cheney and isn't going to lose his
And probably
guns
Matt
anyway.
Mead. They probably gave one to Matt Mead with, you know, with pearl handles and his name carved in it and the Second Amendment on the other side.
Right,
you know, the outgoing lame duck Democrat, Dave Freudenthal, was better on gun rights than this I'm tough on gun, I'm good for gun rights Republican. Because he signed the Firearm Freedom Act. He said he was reluctant, but he signed it.
He signed it. And Matt Mead, I bet you he's going to veto it. That's my prediction right now. Is Mead
but you know, Matt Mead did sign the concealed carry without a permit, which is kind of baffling. Yeah. But that was early, like right when he came in, and he needed friends.
But still, not only that, but that's not a challenge to the Fed. See, that's the problem with Mead is he's not going to challenge the Feds.
Right. It's not about gun rights. It's about someday he wants to be
president.
It's about
who's rubbing his.
He probably wants to be president someday.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something, you know, cabinet position. He wants to do something. There's this bizarre change that happens not only before. Okay, when he was running in the primary against other Republicans, he was I have a big postcard he sent out that had a picture of him with a gun that said, "I will protect your gun rights." And he was like, guns. Then after he won the primary, barely a peep about guns. And then,
right. Well,
once
I, I noticed the change in person because he was falling over himself to show me his gun credentials when I was doing that story. And then the day after he won the primary, there was a press conference in Casper with him and all the other Republicans who won. I talked to him, and he gave me a look. Like, I know that's kind of anecdotal, and it's hard to say, well, he gave me a look, but he did. I asked him a question about a similar issue, a states' rights issue, and he gave me a look like, cut that shit out. It's not time for that anymore. And he backtracked. His new statement was much more weak sauce, much more centrist than it ever was when he was running in the primary. And I know that's 101, but just to see it happen personally, just to see how much of a liar he was.
But then something happens beyond that with politicians between, you know, once they get in office and then like a few months later. And in the book, Mulan Labe, when the guy becomes president, I mean, there's this weird fantasy that Boston had in there that basically, you know, the keepers of the presidential power, the secret black government people go visit the president in the Oval Office and, you know, tell him how we're all anointed by Satan. But I don't think it's really that. I think it's more like, you know, gold or lead. You know, I don't think they actually like threaten to kill them or drive a dump truck of money up to them. But I think that powerful people from the federal government come to governors and say, okay, here's how it works. You know, you can play our game. You can pretend not. You can put on any public face you want. You can pass little laws that don't affect us, like concealed carry without a permit for now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't affect us. But you got to play game on the hardball issues, or else, you know, in three more years, no one's going to remember you. If you play game, if you play ball with us, you know, cabinet appointment under President, you know, Hillary Clinton or something. I don't know what they do, but there's something in the first year when people become governor where they vastly change even more.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it has to be some kind of explicit meeting with somebody. I think it might be unspoken. Like, that's just how your career works. Like it was in the news media, you know, you tell the stories we want to tell, or you're going to feel that pressure. Your ideas that you pitch aren't going to get taken up. And I feel like it's probably some of that in it. Like you feel that social feedback and ostracism from your fellow politicians when you do something that's anti-federal government or anti this march toward more statism and more tyranny. And you probably also get feedback from your campaign managers and your advisors who tell you, oh, well, we can't do that. We got to do this. We can't do that. We got to do this. And so I think even if it's not dark room conspiracy, there's that feedback that they feel. And so they're always going to play ball because they want their career to be furthered because they're human beings. And this is what you liberals out there don't get, is that human beings always have a self-interest. It's not just profit motive. It's also power motive or libido dominandi. And that's what politicians have. They're not out for self-interest. They are out for self-interest. They're not out for the good of the public or some vague bromide.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of guys, I don't like politicians, and I don't think, oh, things would be better on another one, but I think things would be more interesting if one of those two real Tea Party guys had won, the black dude and the Mormon dude. They were running
Michael
in Wyoming.
Michael Lai,
and what was the other guy?
Although, I mean, I forget his name. Wasn't he a professor at UW in Laramie?
Yeah.
Like this black dude had this bolo tie and this big 10-gallon hat and a scarf or something and probably walked bow-legged.
I think those guys, if they'd won, and it wasn't that far off. I mean, the primaries were kind of close. I mean, they got double digits in the primary, both of them. And if either of those guys had won, I kind of think that both those guys know that they'd never have a chance for the cabinet appointment under the president and wouldn't play ball and would be getting a lot of national news of like, look what Wyoming's governor is doing now. It'd be interesting from a Fiend, you know, cast standpoint.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a really interesting question because sometimes I tend to feel like it's not even the person. It's not the individual, maybe. Maybe it's just the ring of power, right? Maybe it corrupts everybody. And no matter who gets to that level, you know, maybe they're corrupted. But maybe you're right. Maybe there are some people. I mean, Ron Paul obviously was never corrupted to that extent. So
yeah.
But Michael Lai just seemed...
He didn't know what he was doing, man. I tried to get him to, like, do a spot for the RLC, and he couldn't remember the name Republican Liberty Caucus. Like, he did like 9 takes. He's like, I love the Republican Freedom People. I love the caucus of Republican Liberty. I love, you know, I mean, literally, like, the guy sounded like a drugged kindergartner trying to remember three words.
Yeah.
But Although the black guy was pretty coherent.
He never got any take right, did he? Michael Eye? I don't think he got even one right take. I think he just trashed all the footage.
No, I just trashed it all. Yeah. Yeah, I thought about putting it up to make fun of him, but there's no reason for it. So moving on to other tyranny, and then we're going to read this kind of like mind-blowing tyrannical article about you'll give up your guns when they come for your guns. That's probably kind of accurate, and people are going to hate us.
I have to take a little break here. You can continue to talk. It'll be about 5 minutes, or we could play a song.
5 minutes? What do you got to do, man?
I've got to pooplicate.
You got to pooplicate? Well, why don't I read this essay while you're gone?
Okay.
All right. Even though you haven't read it all and can't comment on it. First thing I want to say is that I was complaining last week about how the program BUTT, broadcast using this tool, B-U-T-T, that we use to do the streaming cast. It's great, and even greater because the guy who created it, we communicated with him, and he added a feature that is not available on the main one. It's only available for us, and it's a input knob, and it's really good for tuning how crunchy we are or aren't. And I want to thank him for that. But it has a really bland icon. It's just like a Windows box, you know, like a little like. And I always have trouble finding it in the folder before the cast. So I found a picture of an elephant's butt to use as an icon, and that seems pretty appropriate to me. Elephant's butt, especially since we're talking about Republicans. Republicans who republicate. So I'm reading an article. I will post it in the chat room. You can all read along if you want. It's called Ready, Aim, Submit, Why They Will Take Your Guns from Your Cold, Dead Hands. And this is a response to a similar article by someone else at the Dollar Vigilante. It doesn't say who wrote it, but the Dollar Vigilante is a site run by two millionaire libertarian, actually anarcho-capitalists, who have fled the country, who say, you know, America, 15 years ago, as Boston Tea Party said, America was the healthiest patient in the cancer ward, and it's headed toward America being the sickest, most tyrannical patient in the cancer ward, partially because there was so much economic freedom for so long that they were able to incrementally tax us up to like 50% total when you put in federal, state, local, hidden things in the cost of things, transportation costs, gasoline tax, cigarette tax, in sales tax. Basically, we're paying about 45 or 50% tax right now. And so these guys went to Mexico, which doesn't seem to me like the place you'd go for freedom, but I think if you have money, it's probably a better place for freedom, according to them. And it's a very intricate blog. There's a lot of talk about how to get your gold out of the country, how to get dual passports from other countries so you can travel without having an American passport, things like that. So the Dollar Vigilante, the article says, the Dollar Vigilante correspondent Jim Krager's article, "When They Come for Your Guns, You Will Turn Them Over," went viral this week. And this is from about 8 months ago, way before the current "We're going to take your assault weapon" stuff. Within minutes of its release, it had tens of thousands of views, was picked up by dozens of websites, and it fueled an epic discussion in the comments section, resulting in numerous unsubscribes, and Krager received 2 death threats. Perhaps he touched a nerve? We've now had time to read through the many hundreds of emails, mostly telling us we are cowards, and we will now take an opportunity to respond to some of those criticisms and commentary. Cowards. The greatest amount of responses were from what we would call neoconish types. They told us we were cowards, and they accused us of running away from a fight, which they are correct. We did. Both Jim Krager and myself left years ago, both to Mexico. We saw this fight coming and wanted no part of it. But if you call us cowards, then you have to also call your ancestors cowards. Human history has been one of fleeing oppression. It is highly likely that your great-great-grandfather at one point looked around someplace like Europe and said, "Well, that's enough of that. I'm out of here." Or perhaps your parents came to the U.S. from Asia or Africa, where they were fleeing socialism, fascism, wars, or outright genocide. So if you call your great-grandparents cowards, then we're okay with being called that. Although it's interesting that many Americans constantly question why we'd go to a place that is dangerous like Mexico, while others call us cowards for going there. Talk about a massive amount of group cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. See, I always have that in my mind too, because I feel like my dad left Iran, but he was going somewhere where he saw opportunity and freedom, you know, in America. And I guess there still is places with opportunity and freedom, or at least more than the United States. I don't know. I haven't done research enough on where would be the best place. And I also worry that there are places you can't really take your guns, which I'm not ready to give up. You know, yeah. like Mexico, right?
Yep. Well, he basically implies that maybe he has guns in here. It says something like, you know, truly free people don't care what they're allowed to do. But go on. Read the next couple paragraphs. We'll popcorn read this.
Ah, yes. When will you fight back is the heading. Many others told us that we are underestimating the American people and that they will win an upcoming shootout war with the government. To that we say, good luck. And I mean it. If that is what you want to do, we support you, and we work at TDV to also provide informational resources to Americans in the war for freedom against the U.S. government. Many stated, when the time comes, we will fight and win. To this, my question is, what are you waiting for? You say you believe in freedom and will fight to the death for it. Well, you live in one of the least free countries on Earth currently. Only Cuba, North Korea, and perhaps Belarus are noticeably worse. The government extorts you for half your income every year. They are already running massive prison camps where people get hauled off daily for non-crimes. No victim, no crime. The U.S. has the largest amount of people in cages in the world by a factor of nearly four times over the next closest on a per capita basis. In those prison camps in the U.S., people, mostly for non-crimes, are brutalized, raped, murdered, and when that isn't happening, they are made to sew American flags at slave labor rates. By the way, if that last sentence doesn't outrage you, then reread it, but replace U.S. with China, and replace American flags with Chinese flags.
Exactly.
And if you are now outraged, then maybe you can now see how brainwashed you are. You live in a country where being stopped at checkpoints to show your papers three times in 2 hours is now more the norm than the exception.
Keep reading. I like you reading this.
All right. The government indoctrinates your children in their 12-year education camps, sucking almost any desire or ability to learn out of them as they inject them with toxic vaccines and diagnose them with made-up diseases should they show any resistance to their indoctrination, and then force them to take pharmaceutical toxins. If you try to stop them, they will come to your house with a SWAT team and kidnap your child to ensure he takes his medicine. And that whole last sentence there is hyperlinked for an actual thing that happened. And I think we did talk about this on The Fiends. There was a woman who refused to medicate her kid because he didn't want the medicine. And he felt healthier without it. And she felt like he was healthier without it. But the government goons, I think it was a school official.
Gunverment.
Or a child welfare
official. Gunverment. We got to start calling them the gunverment.
Of course. The gunverment goons literally sent a SWAT team.
Under Barack Obama.
Right, right.
Is where I got it is coming up the next sentence.
Yeah, yeah. And as I've said before, and as Scott Horton and Will Grigg were talking about the other day, the media, the news media, everywhere, the TV station and the newspaper, whenever there's a SWAT team, the SWAT team is always the good guy, no matter what and what the reason is. And that's what the coverage was like here, too. So I'll go on.
I think we can read this down to slave on slave action. It kind of resolves what we're going to talk about right before that.
All right. Back to the article. You say you believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the Constitution is a long-dead document, and Barack Obama erases amendments like Shaquille O'Neal dunks basketballs. That's racist.
It is.
All right. The only amendment left standing of any value is now the Second Amendment. So, you are a slave, a complete slave, who is permitted to have a gun. The government takes your property, takes your children, and makes you live under a constant state of surveillance by the police state, which is taking your money and building their own army to keep you in line. and you still don't fight. All the people who emailed us talked very tough. Quote, we'll kill them if they try to take our guns, end quote.
Yeah, he calls those people the internet militia, which I think is a great term.
It is a pretty great term. Well, they've taken everything else, and they still haven't done anything.
Which I've talked about before. I've said American gun owners have been very polite. And
yeah,
everyone who hates guns and wants them taken away talks about all the gun violence. But there's literally been no gun violence against the government. There's been none.
Right.
You know, the last time, and he talks about this in here, like the only person in recent memory who's done anything violent against the government in protest wasn't even an American. It was the guy who threw the shoe at George Bush.
Yeah.
And, you know, right. And in the 60s, there were people blowing up all sorts of government stuff. And we're not saying that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that no one is shooting because I don't want to live in that world. But I also don't know about living in the world where we slowly slide into tyranny.
Right.
And it horrifies me that there's not a choice. I mean, there's not. And this guy has found a choice that works for him, which is moving to Mexico. And people call him cowards for it. And those are the same people who'd say, if you don't like America, get out.
Yeah.
And then he does.
And they got out.
And they call him a coward.
Yeah.
And I think I think that Mexico might be a place to go if you have some money. And I think part of it is because, like, Mexico is so dirt poor. I mean, think about the inefficiency of the United States government, who have unlimited free money and just write themselves checks. Like, the Mexican government is poor to the point where, you know, soldiers and cops and drug police are easily bribable by the cartels.
Right.
You know, I think that there's probably not cameras everywhere. There's probably not an infrastructure that can easily spy on all your phones. And interestingly, the president of Mexico recently said he does not want America to decriminalize marijuana, which is weird because Mexico did that a few years ago, but it was under a different president.
Well, I think he's just saying to Washington, hey, I'll play your game more than my predecessor.
Or maybe he's saying, you know, the U.S. is giving us federal funds to build up my army of all the king's men. You know, that's probably it.
Right. The same way Algeria will go on and talk about all the horrible terrorists and how they want to fight against the terrorists just so they can get that good foreign aid from the United States. Man, because the United States dishes out money, you know, like it's the soup kitchen. And all you have to do is say, can I have some more porridge so I can fight the terrorists?
Yeah.
And they dole it out, man.
Yeah, I mean, basically what he's saying in this, and we'll read a little more of it. There's more good stuff in it. But everybody who says, well, there's a line in, I don't want to use the Southern accent. I'm trying not to do that. I don't want to denigrate people from the South. Because that is media shorthand for I'm smarter than those people. And I don't, and it's not just Southerners, and there are smart Southerners, a lot of them. So people who say, well, there's a line in the sand and the founders, you know, understood this. And when they take our guns, we're going to shoot back. First of all, he talks about the impossibility of shooting back. It's basically like, yeah, a few people will shoot back and then they will drone them and cook them. And then they'll put martial law checkpoints everywhere that make us look free now and make Nazi Germany look inefficient. And, you know, they will get a lot of the guns and they will cage a lot of the people.
Didn't they take the guns in the 90s? Wasn't there the Brady Bill? I mean, wasn't that the line in the sand?
Brady Bill wasn't the real one. It was the assault
weapons ban.
But it grandfathered.
Brady Bill was the background.
It grandfathered guns you already owned. And they're talking about now doing another, like the same bill, but not grandfathering. So basically, if you have a semi-automatic weapon, you would have to register it the same way as if you owned a machine gun.
I don't know. I still kind of think it was more of a toe. It's more of a toe in the water thing right now. I kind of buy the Ben Stone thing that they're going to push for something really extreme and they're going to get something very light as a compromise.
But what he goes on with in this article over and over and over is, you know, is that your line in the sand? I mean, the things that the founders fought the revolution over were about 1/100th as tyrannical as what we have now. They fought it over, you know, a tax not on income, not on sales, not on gasoline, not on everything you touch or do commerce with, but like a 3% tax on tea. That's what it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay more than 3% tax on tea in sales tax now, let alone all the other taxes that you already pay. You know, and they're basically saying, why is taking the guns your line in the sand, and you're just all talk and you're an internet militia talking about this? Because if you wanted to fight, you should have done it 40 years ago. You know, you should have done it when they started going after people for pot. You should have started doing it when they were telling you your kids have to do this or be educated this way. You should have done it when they raised this tax or this tax or this tax. You should have done it when, you know, they started charging speeding tickets. You should, all these things that are like everything we talk about on the Freedom Fiends. I mean, literally, I saw something the other day that said, it was probably in this article. It said, the laws in America have gotten worse since you got up this morning.
Yeah.
And that's true. Yeah. And that's where I talk about being overwhelmed with tyranny. And I go, too much tyranny. And it's kind of like, and why I kind of want to get away from the tyranny, because what is the point? I mean, I guess there's a point to like there being a news service of it, but it's kind of a meme and kind of like an infection now to where people think, well, I do activism. I talk about the tyranny and forward it on the Twitter space. And that's not really, I mean, it's better than doing nothing. And I'm not saying to shoot, but what is in between that is activism that's worthwhile? I mean, I think it's kind of like, you know, AA is, I talk about AA a lot because it, and I'm not really a member of AA anymore, but I'm still sober, but I went for like 15 years. And the thing of AA, they called it kind of like first century Christianity, which was, you know, the apostles didn't have churches. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have radio. They went out and wandered the land and went one town to another and talked one man to another. And
yeah,
the most honest communication that humans have is one person talking to another person. And I really feel like when we do radio or podcasting, that is, you know, there's an audience of thousands, but I really feel like you and I are sitting down talking to one person. And I'm not saying that our activism is better than another, but, I've wanted for like a year and a half of the 2 years we've been doing this to get away from just listing the tyrannies today and really going more to the root and the core. And this article really kind of goes to the root and the core to me. It's like, y'all are slaves with guns. It doesn't matter that you have guns. You talk about some line in the sand, which, you know, I guess people think is the cops coming on your property. No, it's going to be like Bearcats and tanks and Marines rolling down your street. And they do talk in this article about a lot of people have this fantasy of, well, there will be Oath Keepers. There'll be a few Oath Keepers, but like Oath Keepers would literally have to shoot their commanders to do what they want to do. And there's a lot of people that would, you know, say, I won't go into that house and take those guns from those honest citizens, but they're going to be thrown in, you know, in the brig and charged with treason if they don't. And there's going to be a lot of,
where were the Oath Keepers in Katrina?
Yeah.
I mean, they literally went door to door confiscating guns.
They probably picked people who weren't. They probably, you know, they called up the National Guard from another state and brought them all down there. And when they went to do that door to door thing, they probably asked the head of that local National Guard unit, okay, which three guys here shouldn't we bring? Which guys are going to cause trouble? You know?
Yeah.
And the, and the commander would know. He knows his guys like he knows his kids, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, man. And then there's we are an empire, right? And so all they have to do is they can divide and conquer. You know, we live under the empire. We're not the ones who get the benefits of it. You know, the guys who get the benefits live in DC and in Virginia in giant houses. And so what they can do is they can send people from, you know, send Yankees down to the South to take their guns and send Southerners up to the North to take their guns.
And send blacks to take white people's guns. Blacks who are really happy to be serving under a black president. Yeah.
And send white people to take black people's guns. They're going to they're going to play our own differences against each other, and they'll send Democrats to take Republicans' guns and vice versa.
Yeah, and you know, Pooplicated said in the chat room they will use foreign military. Latvian troops don't care about Minneapolis, but they're in NATO. You know, that'll do that.
Yeah. 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 That's a really good point. You know, I never knew about that growing up until I went to West Point for this invitational thing, and I thank God every day that I was medically disqualified for many reasons. But there were troops from all over the world, and there were lots of Eastern Europeans there. that were actually teaching and talking to us and being like, oh yeah, it's great being here. I'm like, well, I don't understand why you're here. I thought this was for Americans. And yeah, it's because.
Oh, we train Russian troops now. That happened recently. Right. Like, we, you know, the.
In
the
Colorado, US, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, and like the people who were the Muslims. When I was growing up, the Russians were looked at the way Muslims are looked at by Fox News now. Literally. Yeah. Like, I was taught from as soon as I could speak that the Russians wanted to and probably would come over and nuke us to cinders.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're over there training with them. And I don't have a problem doing business with Russia, but I have a problem with that they might be the ones firing on us.
Well, that's exactly the point, though, is that the United States government, what they do is they give out so much military training, so many military favors. That's how they buy loyalty.
Weapons.
And
money.
What they're really doing is they're co-opting the state apparatus and the monopolies of violence from all around the world to be their friends. Because what it really is it's the military, which is the violent arm of the state, the enforcement arm of the state in the various states against everybody who's not part of that. And that's what the world war will be. It will be the world's armies and the world's states against everybody who's not part of the states and part of the world's armies.
John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. You know what that is?
No.
In the movie Red Dawn, they're listening to the radio, and there's this kind of like, I don't know what the show is. I don't know if it's like American government propaganda or something, but it's like, you know, for the people, for the resistance, for the American resistance. You know, they're just listening to a radio and they're like playing some pop music, and then they do the weather, and the lady does the weather, and then she says, John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. And in other news, and it's a reference to code words from a military operate. Like, basically that was the kind of thing that was done in World War II in European radio. And did you ever play the video game Homefront?
Nah, but people tell me I should.
It is friggin' awesome. I mean, it's co-written by John Milius, who wrote Red Dawn and Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, Red Dead Redemption, the government is the enemy. But it's like, you know, in cowboy days, or Red Dead Revolver, but this is like modern time. It's basically Red Dawn and you're one of the kids, but you're an adult in a modern setting with, like, you know, SWAT teams and foreign soldiers, you know, all fighting the Americans. And the opening of the game is kind of this like bombed out apartment where you are squatting, and there is you get up, you know, it's first person shooter kind of game, like from your vantage point, you wake up and you turn on a radio, and literally, like, you're in an apartment up on the fourth or fifth floor somewhere, and there's a giant hole in your wall, like where a mortar came through. And you're listening to this radio that's like hooked to, it's a hand crank radio, and you're listening to it, and it's like, it's kind of like a cross between, the broadcast is kind of like a cross between John has a red mustache or a long mustache. It's a cross between that and the Freedom Fiends. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
You know, and it's kind of like, that's kind of what I'd like to be doing when this all comes down. But yeah, you know, I probably don't. They'll probably take my microphone before they have to take it from my cold, dead hands. You know, because they'll do something like, we're going to turn off your mortgage. We're going to turn off your ability to drive. Yeah. We're going to turn off your bank account. You know, they don't even have to send guns. And it's terrifying to me. And it kind of makes Mexico look, you know, we ended up in Wyoming because we became libertarians. And I read about Wyoming one night in one sitting on the internet and woke my wife up and said, we're moving to Wyoming. And like 9 months later, we lived here. And last night, reading The Dollar Vigilante, I almost wanted to wake my wife up and say, we're moving to Mexico. But she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. And I don't think we have the money to do it right. But the fact that that guy I interviewed, Bill Bupert, who was like, a colonel in the army? I mean, he was kind of high ranking in the army, understands how geopolitical stuff works better than Scott Horton, and from more of a first person standpoint. And that guy is a gun guy to the core. He's moving out of America as quickly as possible and probably to a country where he can't legally have guns. That kind of makes me go, whoa.
Yeah. Well, if there's a de facto environment of more freedom, then even if you don't have a Second Amendment or it's against the law, if you can get away with it a lot easier, I mean, that's what really matters, right? I mean, it reminds me of when we were watching Hell on Wheels, and it's by no means libbear because people are still violent and they don't get it, but the state is so much less powerful in the 1800s post-Civil War than they are now. No matter how many evil things the state wants to do, they don't have the tools or as many tools to do it as they do now, and they don't have as willing a populace as they do now.
Yeah, 40 years ago, they couldn't turn off your mortgage to screw with you. They couldn't turn off your right. money to screw with you. Someone just said, Puplicated said in the chat room, we just looked into doing a refi on the mortgage, and it included a page from Homeland Security.
Yikes.
And I actually bent over today and put my butt out for the Fed government.
Did you?
Yeah, I got this notice from HostGator, our hosting. It says, as you may know, which I didn't know, as you may know, the Federal Trade Commission has strict guidelines that relate to affiliates who offer reviews, rankings, endorsements, and testimonials. And we require all affiliates to comply with it. So basically, I looked into all this stuff, read the FTC thing, and basically what it says is they're sending this because we have a link on our site that says we use and love HostGator. And to do that legally, okay, if we just had an ad for HostGator, we wouldn't have to do anything. But I think it's more effective to tell the fact that we use and love it. So since it's an endorsement, legally, we are required to put language above that right next to it where you can see it and won't miss it that says something to the effect of, we receive compensation from this link if you sign up. I made my own wording, which I believe is legal, which is let me pull it up right here. But I spent like 45 minutes today changing this on all the websites I administer. And it was a bitch. It was like, you know, I'm a tiny business owner, not a small business owner. You know, the fiends are. And this is the kind of crap I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, the wording I put was, we earn referral fees if you use the below services, but we wouldn't recommend a service unless we like them and would use them regardless. And I put that above
nice.
HostGator, Xvrink, Seedbox, and Bola VPN. Now, I'm wondering if A, we have to do this in audio ads, especially since we're going to be on radio, and B, if we have to do it anytime we put an Amazon link to a product. It seems like we would, but I didn't have time to do it today. I'm going to have to go more into
it. Well, Hannity doesn't say that the water softener people pay him when he goes off onto his rants about, hey, do you have hard water?
Okay.
So, but then again, my point is
Hannity has lawyers.
Exactly. And all laws are enforced selectively.
Yeah.
So
well, apparently
the government
HostGator
has an interest in keeping Hannity on the air because he's so status. He's controlled opposition.
Yeah.
You can hate the government, but as long as you hate the government but love the warfare state, you're completely
and the water
tolerable.
Softener.
And the water softener. You're completely tolerable.
Yeah.
So I think the government loves Hannity, and they love Limbaugh, and they love Levine. They love these guys.
I've actually wondered why conservative talk radio hasn't been outlawed yet because the liberals hate it. I mean, there's documentary films about this isn't right, this isn't fair, and I've said it's not a matter of fairness. You guys tried with Air America and no one listened to it. You know, people, liberals don't do talk radio well. Conservatives do it extremely well. I hate listening to them do it. They're friggin' hypocrites, but they do it really well. And I think, you know, and free speech is being denigrated by the government in some ways, very selectively, like basically when it makes a difference, like going after that guy who ended up killing himself, the guy who basically was part of kind of like a fan. People in Anonymous were fans of him, and Anonymous is a threat.
Well, his girlfriend came out and gave a statement that he didn't off himself because he was depressed. He offed himself because of all the stress of you trying to throw him in a cage.
Because he was going to go to prison. Yeah.
For 2 years. And she said, so much for a speedy trial, huh? And you'll notice that when the government is basically being a bully and trying to bully you into compliance and punishing you for being whatever they don't like, the trials will take years and years. I mean, look at Bradley Manning. It's what, 3 years now?
There was an attorney in Casper, Larry Clapp, who was charged with possession of kiddie porn and blew his brains out a couple weeks ago. And, you know, who knows if that's what really happened with both of those? I mean, Alex Jones said that Schwartz got Arkansided, which I had to look up, which is a reference to how political enemies of Bill and Hillary Clinton back in the day tended to end up dead of suicides. And in one case, dead of a suicide from two gunshots in the back of his head, which is really bizarre and practically impossible. I mean, people have killed themselves with suicide with more than one bullet, but it's usually like, you know, they shoot themselves in the head, miss, blow their ear off and are in extreme pain, and then put it in their mouth and pull the trigger and die. But, you know, two shots in the back of your head, that's a pretty unlikely suicide scenario. So, you know, basically Alex Jones was implying that Schwartz was murdered and had it made look like suicide. I mean, even in that movie, that in Shooter, that movie you and I really like, there's a scene where they're trying to eliminate the Nima looking guy with this really corrupt, like medieval kind of torture kind of instrument. It's like this weird bondage suicide thing. Remember that? They have him like in this warehouse, and they have this thing that puts his gun in his hand and holds it to his temple and pulls the trigger. And then they remove that device and forensically, it absolutely looks like he killed himself. And this is something that like some Blackwater kind of federal government contractor is using. And our hero rows up on a rowboat and shoots them with 22s in the head to save his friend with a silencer made from a soda bottle from a boat.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, so what's the answer then, man? Because this is kind of depressing. What kind of redemption do we have?
I know, man. I don't know. I had a dream last night that there was a police car in my backyard, and there's a fence around my backyard. They would have to crash through it. I mean, I'm feeling poked, and they probably like that. But here's what I think. I think that they only go after free speech when it really makes a difference. And I don't think Hannity and Limbaugh make a difference. I think they help the current administration. Completely. Now, Alex Jones, I think, is really starting to get to the point where he's irking the White House. And the White House, Alex Jones said the White House responded to me recently. And he showed this clip of Obama talking about pundits who say, well, there's this tyrannical government coming and Barack Obama's the head of it. And nothing could be further from the truth, people. I'm not a tyrant. And the audience kind of laughs. And these pundits make their money doing this and having their sponsorships by doing this. And they're making a lot of money doing it. And that's their motivation. And I'm not a tyrant. And people laughed and cheered.
People give them money out of their wallets voluntarily. Unlike you, Mr. President, who must steal from us at gunpoint to pay for ways of killing us. I mean, if you go somewhere else in the world and you're targeted, you haven't gotten away. I mean, the United States government is pretty much the closest thing the world's ever seen to a world government.
Yeah,
I mean, they have drones that could get you anywhere. They've got
the dollar vigilante guys are probably safe. I mean, they're millionaires. They're in Mexico. You know, I don't know how it works in Mexico. You might have to pay some people off, but you know, what's his name did it? The governor of Minnesota. The conspiracy guy?
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. He's in Mexico, but he has money, you know. You probably pay off a few people. You can probably buy a gun from the cops and get to keep it. But, you know, those people aren't, you know, I don't think Jesse Ventura is a threat because he's so nutty. Most people don't take him seriously, even when he's speaking the truth. The dollar vigilante guys, I mean, their YouTube channel gets like 1,000 views of every video. That's not a threat. I think Alex Jones is really, I mean, I think he started to make a difference. And, you know, who knows if Obama was directly referencing him, because I think Hannity and other people call Obama a tyrant. But it did come right after Alex Jones had done something really, really critical in public. And it was that week he was getting like 20 times as many views because he was on Pierced Butthole Morgan. We got to start calling him Pierced Butt Morgan for radio. But for now, we can still call him Pierced Butthole Morgan. You know, but I mean, like,
because you can't reference the actual orifice on real radio.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that we are in the process of getting on FCC regulated radio and are basically going to be saying the same thing we're saying now. It's baffling to me, but I think, and I've read a lot of people saying that basically the First Amendment still sort of stands because it gives the slaves the illusion that they're free. You know, the fact that we can get up and rant about this doesn't change the fact that I had to do a bunch of changes on our website today or we'd lose our affiliates. It doesn't change the fact that in most places, if you have a joint in your pocket, they can throw you in a cage. It doesn't change the fact that we're paying 45 to 50% of our income in taxes. Even people who don't file taxes, who don't make enough to file taxes, are paying, you know, 30% of their income somehow, one way or another. It doesn't change any of that. So you can have your microphone with your little podcast with your 4,000 listeners. You can be on the radio and have 40,000 listeners. You can carry a gun. You're still a slave. And I'm sorry if I'm depressing people. I don't know what, I mean, maybe this is the second act of a third act rant and we're going to find the redemption in this, but
I hope so. But you're right. The second amendment.
I got to call Ben Quaker. I got to do a call out. You keep calling. I'm going to call Ben Quaker. He will put this into perspective.
Okay. Well, you're right. You can still carry a gun. The Second Amendment is also not a placebo, but it's something. It's a pacifier that the government lets us have because, you know, maybe 300 years ago when the government had the same guns as you, you could fight back. You could say, hell no. You could repel Washington's troops when he went to kill you all for not paying a whiskey tax. But today, a gun, what's a gun to a drone? You know, bringing a gun to a drone fight is like bringing a plastic sword to a gunfight. I mean, the government has weapons that can obliterate the entire Earth. Enough hydrogen bombs to literally wipe out all life on this planet. So them letting you have assault rifles, they don't really think there's that much of a threat. Michael's calling Ben Stone to try to find some kind of redemption here, because what is the redemption? And I guess there's sort of a Jeff Tucker style redemption that maybe we can get to. I mean, maybe the government just becomes so obsolete because they can't keep their financial house in order. Maybe it's like the Soviet Union. I mean, they were so powerful for so many.
But that's not pleasant for the citizens during the collapse. Right. Basically, it means your money's going to be worthless. Bread is going to be $1,000 a loaf. What else has happened historically during those periods when they didn't even have the goon squads they have now and the surveillance they have now?
So maybe the people who are going to Mexico and Argentina, maybe they're the smart ones.
Maybe they
realize that the United States will end up collapsing due to its own economic basket caseness, and that they'll be in places that are developing countries that still have somewhere to go with their economies. Maybe that's part of the answer.
Yeah, and there was a lot of dead-on truth in that article. I mean, one thing was the you're calling us cowards. You know, your grandfather was a coward then for leaving Europe. You know, the founding fathers were cowards for leaving Europe. The thing I noticed that wasn't in there that is really, I think, funny and ironic and right on is, you know, those are the same people who say, if you don't love America, get out. And then you get out and they call you a coward.
It's like that episode of South Park where all of a sudden the Mexicans decide that they're going to go back to Mexico. And the Border Patrol people are so upset because there's this horde of Mexicans leaving. And they're like, wait, what are you doing? And then the plan becomes keep all the illegal Hispanics in the country so they can stay and work. Work, Mexican work, I think is the theme.
Well, you know, fences work both ways. And Ron Paul pointed that out. He said, said in when he was running for president the last time, and I'm glad he got out. They said, you know, what do you think of putting a fence up on Mexico? And he says, I don't know. A fence with machine gun turrets on it doesn't sound very American to me, which immediately the implication was it sounds, you know, Berlin-ish. It sounds East German and Russian to him. And it does.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Ben's going to call in. We got other tyrannies to talk about. We got some fun stuff to talk about, though.
We do, but it's about the hour mark. So why don't we go ahead and recompose ourselves and maybe some redemptions or some more redemption will come.
What song you want to play?
I don't know. Do we want to play some Bomb? Do we want to play some Nima? Do we want to play something that's not us? I'm down for whatever, man. What do you
play? Some Nima. We played Bomb the last three episodes. Yes. And, you know, we say the word Bomb on the internet. It's going to get us in trouble. We're talking about a rock group that broke up in 1993. Central Scrutinizer.
Okay.
My band. You know, I want to say that the War on Guns and the Sipsy Street Irregulars, two of the best gun blogs in the world, blogged what we sent them about Matt Mead being a hypocrite.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now he's going to come after me with a drone. And, you know, that's the other thing, too. Like, Wyoming, the state constitution here says that you are in the militia if you're, you know, a healthy adult between 18 and 60 or something like that. It's in the constitution here. So basically, a lot of gun owners here use that as the, we can own guns because, but like really what that means is you're Matt Mead's private army when he tries to annex, you know, Utah or the head shop that tries to open up in Cheyenne. You're going to be called up and have to go point guns at people.
All right. And on that note, as a sort of palate cleanser, this is a song I was working on recently with a fellow rapper here in Austin, and it really has nothing to do with Liberty. It's just kind of fun. It's called Geeked Up. So here you go.
All right. Let's cancel out of that.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like The Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
going all the way back to 1891. Yo. That was bomb.
All right.
So, man, yeah.
Good. Good.
I think we got the Fiend's Next virus on your computer from the central poopinizer.
I think it was hardware, man. I think it was some kind of crazy. Did it sound like a feedback loop? That's my thought.
It sounded exactly like this. Heard, okay, let me do it. For like the whole time you tried it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's horrible.
I don't know, man.
That was my rock musical band, Bomb, from the album Love Sucker, the EP that came out when in 99 when we did our reunion. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Excellent. So, moving right along, you wanted to talk about the post office in segment two?
I don't really want to, but everyone's doing it, including Fox News.
Everyone's doing it. Okay, well, we can talk about something else. What do you want to talk about?
Talk about it. No, let's talk about it.
All right, all right.
The man, post office is, man.
Here's what I know about the post office. I know they give poor customer service, and they get paid a bank load. I know somebody who is like 3 or 4 years younger than me, didn't go to school, like even failed the post office test, but they brought her on as like some kind of part-time person. Like she's not even like a full-fledged postal employee, and she made like $60,000 last year. Like $60,000. She can't even pass their test, but just doing this work on the side or whatever lower position she is, $60,000 a year. That's like not, man, and you know, I'm not hating because I don't hate on people who can make bank, but I do hate when the money is stolen. I hate that I'm making less money and I have to pay my taxes so that this person who wouldn't make that kind of money working for UPS, wouldn't make that kind of money doing the same job for FedEx, gets paid that much, man.
Somebody, someone says, I hear Michael typing. I think it's Knight. Your brother Knight is Knight Fiend is in the chat room.
Yeah.
Shout out to Knight. To Nima and Jessica and all the little fiends and Lisa and all the little fiends.
Yeah.
So someone just said their dad's been a postal carrier, a mailman for 20 years, and he makes more than $30 an hour. That's insane, man. I remember reading the book Post Office by Bukowski, which was basically about him being a drunk and working as a letter carrier and how it was a great job because he could be a total drunk and be a letter carrier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, just think about
that. Oh, Nima's cousin's in here too. Dude, the whole family's in there. Frank, Knight, and OB, who says he's Nima's cousin.
Ah, okay. Now I know who OB is.
Is that one of the people you've indoctrinated to non-statism?
No, I don't think OGB was indoctrinated. I think he was one of those discovered people. If it is who I think it is, he says that he sort of always felt this way, like F the system and I'm about doing my own thing and living and let living. And why do all these people have to rain on my parade and everybody else's parade all the time?
They have to rain over your parade.
R-E-I-G-N.
Yeah. So yeah. I want to keep talking about the post office, but I want to mention something teasing it for an upcoming episode. We're going to read and critique a critique of libertarianism. It basically like thinks it says why it won't work and why libertarians are stupid, but it's really long. It's kind of like, you know, it's all text, but it really should have blurry pictures and red arrows. But it's it says critique of libertarianism, and it says version 2.0 now with more statism.
They
brag a joke? That. No, they brag
they're
it
really
as a joke, but they're bragging it.
Right. Well, I remember looking at that thing and they were saying, you know, talking about statism and who's more status and who's less status is just silly. That's like deciding – it's like if we lived in a society where you were tallest or shortest and you were like, well, should the tallest people run the society or should the shortest people run society? It would be that ridiculous.
That's a red herring, man. It's not a red herring. It's a straw man argument because
– complete straw man.
Tall people and short people with all other things being equal – have no difference. And I say this as a proud short person. No, but, you know, basically it's not the same thing because statists want to kill you and rob you and tax you and libertarians don't. So there's a lot bigger difference.
Question. Yeah. The question is, should we be ruled not who should rule us. And in that first part of his critique, he's trying to say, well, we shouldn't decide who's going to rule us based on if they want to rule us a lot or if they want to rule us a little. But that's not the central argument of libertarianism. The central argument is we shouldn't be ruled. We have no need to be ruled. Us being ruled is both immoral and impractical. So why do we have these fantasies? Why do some people have these fantasies that they can make the world a utopia if they just apply force in the right areas?
Someone replied to me saying, shout out to all the family fiends in here, the family fiend, that Papa Fiend be out there grinding. And I said, LOL, worms to your father.
Worms to
your Mark, pops. I did mail off your fiend's button order to Canada via carrier worm, as you requested.
Yes, of course.
No, I sent it first class, man. Airmail, whatever it is. Airmail. It's funny they call it mail airmail now. Isn't all mail airmail now?
That's an old saying. I guess not, man. I mean, there's ground mail.
So the thing about the post office is it's not only just a big welfare program, you know, to pay, to steal way huge amounts of money more. And people who defend it say, oh, no, it's not part of the government. It's contracted by the government, which is true, although you can't bring a gun into it, so it seems like the government to me, into the post office, which really the only people that ever shoot people in post offices are postal workers. So you should be able to have a gun to protect yourself from these overpaid freaks who want to shoot people. But it's not it is at taxpayer money because their debt is paid for by the government,
right,
and they have been operating in the red for since about 1985, which was really pretty much what happened. Was that's when people started using email. Not a lot, but the way the post office was set up, and it was set up in the Constitution, so people who say the Constitution is great probably like the post office, because it sets up the postal office and the postal roads to be paid for by Congress stealing money. So literally, if you're into the post office, you're saying to me, roads, because it's in the Constitution, people. Go check it out. It's in the first article of the Constitution, the first page. So
the thing is they don't allow – because if it weren't the government, it wouldn't exist anymore. It would be Blockbuster, right? If the post office weren't part of the government, nobody would think – to ever use it, you know, and there would be competitors who would pick up what little market need there is, because it's a very small amount of market.
Yeah, and people say, well, nobody but the post office could carry a letter across the country for 45 cents. How do you know, man?
Well, they're not really carrying it across the country for 45 cents. That's why it's completely ignorant to think so.
Yeah.
Is because the costs are actually paid for by their deficit. It's paid for by the post office's debt. So that $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 it ends up to pay to take that letter over, which is paying for the $60,000 a year that your carrier and every other person who's carrying it makes, and it's paying for the retirement of all the people who've ever worked for the post office ever. It's paying for them to live fat and drive cars and take cruises. All of that money is not the 42 cents for your stamp or whatever it costs. That's all the debt that then Congress pays, that then your taxes pay.
Someone said it's the Keynesian post office job program. Postal workers dig holes and fill them in with junk mail. And, you know, I remember in about 1991 or 92, there was a congressman who proposed a bill that would tax each email 5 cents. You know, and it got shot down, but it was basically like, we need to protect the post office. Like, that would be like saying, you know, when cars came in, the buggy
makers. We need to protect
makers,
the horse and buggies. Yeah,
we need to have a $5 surcharge on every $300 Model T sold, and we'll give it to the whip makers for the horse and carriage people to advertise and tell people why there should be, you know, why you should still use horses and carriages, because they're quaint. Remember, there was recently a congresswoman who wanted to have an advertising program to convince people
to use
letters. Yeah.
I remember fondly when my children would write me from college and ask for money, and it was so much nicer getting that in a letter than,
yeah.
Well, it's just complete silliness, and it's not based in any kind of sound economics or any kind of sound science. And I'm addressing this to you, statheists, who think that decisions should be made based on science and what evidence suggests. why let these people decide where money goes? It is completely ridiculous. Yeah. They bailed out the American auto industry. They bailed out the American steel industry. And these were industries that are failing. And the market, when an industry is failing, when a company is going bankrupt, it's the market telling that company that they're doing something wrong or that people don't want their products anymore. And if the government steals money to step in and pay that failing industry money, all they're doing is reducing the amount of resources in the economy that could otherwise go to find the next big thing or to find what's to replace, that industry that's failing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so square, man. And not only is it, think about they steal the money. I mean, that's the main complaint. But I would say they go beyond stealing the money by not allowing competition.
Right.
You know, and Lysander Spooner over 100 years ago went into competition with the United States government postal service. And there was a Supreme Court ruling and he was fined $50 and forced to break up his company.
Yeah.
You know, and when people talk about there's going to be a line in the sand coming up when they take our guns.
that was a big line
in the sand, man. And, yeah. If there'd been a way to fight that without violence or just, make it not happen with some magic anarchist fairy dust, the world would be a better place now,
Right. Well, that's another argument against the people who say, oh, the post office isn't the government. Well, hey, they have a state enforced monopoly. If you compete with them, the state will fine you or put you in jail. Same thing with the Fed. People say, oh, well, the Fed is a bunch of private bankers. And
the Fed got audited by Anonymous this week. They hacked it.
Oh, they sure did.
How about this for a postal carrier model for competition? A company that would pay you to send your letter for you and they'd put an ad on the envelope. That could totally work.
That could work. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
They would just the stamp would be like 5 inches by 4 inches, and you'd have to put the address over on the far left. You'd buy a stamp, or no? You just drop it in a mailbox, and then they'd put a stamp on it that's like 4 inches by 4 inches. That would be an ad, and they'd take it. They would pay for your mail. That could work. That could totally work.
Well, what need is there? What market need is there for letter delivery anyway? Like small, super small vestiges.
My 91-year-old dad still writes me at least once a week, and I generally would prefer a phone call from him because what he sends me, as much as I love him, is almost junk mail. I mean, occasionally he'll send me a photo that he could just scan and send. If he knew how to scan, he could email. But generally what he sends me is clippings from the local newspaper about people I don't remember that I went to grade school with. He'll find something in the local newspaper about, rock musical group Boston is reuniting and playing at the county fair. And my dad will go, oh, you like rock musical groups. And he will clip that out of the newspaper, put a 45-cent stamp on it and send it to me with a little post-it note that says, Michael, I know you like rock musical groups. I thought you'd find this interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd much rather have a phone call from him.
I mean, package delivery, like mailing stuff, shipping stuff, that's important. But do you generally go to USPS when you got a package?
I do with Fiends Buttons because it's a little cheaper because I'm already paying for it through taxes and it's a little cheaper than sending it like third day UPS or something. But, the law is that you cannot deliver a letter for less than $2.50 or you're in competition with the post office. That's a pretty big leap there, So.
Yeah,
you can send a letter second day UPS for like $7 or something. But, I really think if there was unlimited competition, the first model it would prop up is we deliver your mail free and put an ad on the envelope. Mm-hmm. I'd pay for that. I'd do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and the post office loses crap all the time and steals stuff. I had somebody send me, some silver dime cards and he got back the opened undelivered package to his return address with a note from the post office saying, this was found like this in the Denver post office. And he sent me a scan of it. And and it was like, it wasn't insured. It was about $100 worth of silver. And, he was like, do you want me to file something for it? And like, I was like, no, I've done that before. It takes like a year and they bug the hell out of you. And, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you could insure it, but it's like, why should you have to insure it when you're already paying all that to send it? And basically what that means is somebody working in the Denver post office probably ran it through a TSA scanner to see if there was a bomb in it, saw coins and opened it up and stole it. You know, so I'm not safer. I'm robbed because of that crap.
Right, right. And I feel like I would trust a private employee so much more than I would trust any government.
Especially if
employee.
There's competition, you know, and there would be.
Especially if there's competition. And most of all, because government employees are so much harder to fire than private employees.
Yeah.
They're often so much it takes so much less to fire a private employee than it would, say, a teacher or a postal worker. And I feel like with postal workers, they're sort of all in it together. They watch each other's back. It's almost like police officers. They're all of their goal is to work there, put in their 20 years so that they can retire early and live a life of luxury doing nothing. And having done nothing with their life but drove a little bitty car around putting pieces of paper in boxes.
Yeah.
And I feel if it's like that, then yeah, you're going to take a little off the side here and there. Who cares? Your boss is going to look the other way because he wants you to look the other way when he does something shady.
Yeah. Worms.
Yeah. But screw the post office, man. And, you know, one of the silver linings with it, though, is that it really highlights the fact that we don't need all of these old institutions that the government supposedly exists for. Because to me, the post office is just as inefficient and useless as your local PD or the ATF or the DEA or the Congress. And so if people can see, you know, maybe it's like episodes of TV, once one show gets pulled off the air because it can't pass muster or the censors don't like it, then maybe the whole series will fail because it's that precedent. It's that barrier we need to break. So maybe if the post office goes belly up and people finally decide to let it go because all the old people have died off, then maybe we can look to the next government agency that's inefficient and silly. And people will realize, hey, maybe we don't need these police agencies anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm typing.
Oh, good for you. You're typing.
Yeah.
See, you don't need to write a letter. We're talking to people right now.
I know. You know, if the Congress had their way, they would charge not only like 25 cents per email, but like 5 seconds per message on a privately owned message board.
Right.
They're really trying to the gunman is really trying to rein in the like Wild West freedom aspect of the internet. The central scrutinizer location that the NSA is building in Utah. I mean, they're kind of, it's already operational, but they're still building on it. They're just going to keep adding buildings to it, to the compound. It's a compound. It's an armed compound of violent cult members, I would say. They recently released something that said our plan is to fundamentally change the way the internet works by working with, which means pointing guns at, by working with internet service providers, software providers, social networking sites, and others to make the internet non-anonymous and geolocated. In other words, you post something on the internet, the central scrutinizer knows who you are and where you are posting it from. Mm-hmm. There are ways around this, but they're getting less and less each day. But basically, that's one big reason I left Facebook. I was telling you last night on the phone while you were out working. You know, the government knows who I am and where I am and what I'm saying. But being on Facebook is so integrated with that it just makes it so much easier for them to like know who you know, who you talk to, what conversations you have with them, what you own, where you go. You know, what your attitudes are, what you buy. I mean, Facebook just is set up. It's set up in a way to make Facebook able to market to you badly because they're not very good at it.
No.
But, you know, because they don't know that, like, when I post Obama sucks and I think he's a tyrant, I immediately get ads for Obama, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that is what they want. Maybe they want to punish me for thinking that, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like very good, you know.
Especially with the geolocation stuff, Facebook's getting really into that. Whenever anybody tags me now and I get the little message from Facebook on my phone, that the app gives me a little notification, it'll say something like, so-and-so said he was with you in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm like, I wasn't in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's because he tags me. And when you tag somebody, it assumes that you're saying, hey, this is a person in a picture with me. And it knows where I made the post from. So it says, oh, well, he was with you here.
And a thing that was really pissing me off on Facebook, that was pissing me off more than almost anything, because people I don't know who say crap on the internet I would never say, who I've never met, who I've added as a friend because they added me as a friend, you know, people who are saying crap like, we need to shoot the government, would tag me in a photo, like a photo that's not of me. It's like a photo of, you know, the Minutemen at 1775 or something. And they tag me. And then it would say, are you with so-and-so in Baltimore? And I'm like, no. And I would unfriend that person. So the thing is so creepily written and worded and worked that I would be assumed to be a collaborator with a violent person in a way I couldn't do anything except by blocking them as a friend so they can't see anything I write. That is not how my internet should work. And that's not how the internet worked when I got on it. And I liked it more when I got on it. And it's changed fundamentally with government intervention and corporate intervention to where it is this giant surveillance system. I guess part of it is like, I know they're surveilling me. I know there's somebody sitting in a cubicle right now listening to the Fiends, or they're going to listen to it later today. You know, it's their job. I think we've gone beyond the point of a machine listens to it and makes a list of it. I think we've been bumped up a level to a person. Part of his job is listening to the Fiends. But I know that's happening and it's not intrusive. I don't really like the central scrutinizer reminding me it exists. And I'm not saying I don't mind if the government taps my internets as long as I don't see it. I mind it, but I know they're doing it. But when they're throwing it in my face, it's really unsettling because it's kind of trying to create a new normal where checkpoints don't only exist at borders and everywhere between, but also on everything you do on the internet. And I just won't bend over and take it. Submit to
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I guess with Facebook right now, for me, it's like the roads. I get more use out of them than I get upset for, you know, from driving on them being like, oh, well, I can't believe I had to pay a toll, and I can't believe I had to pay taxes, and I can't believe I have to worry about cops everywhere, and I can't believe I have to worry about physical checkpoints. Yeah, well, Lee, it all sucks, but Lee, I still need to use it.
Lee has a really good point. There's always a problem with something most people use, listen to, or watch. You know, once all the cool kids are doing it, there are problems with it, whether they're government or, you know, corporate bullshit crap or what. It is just the way things are set up. Once a lot of people are using it, some entity that is unseen and powerful wants to dumb it down in a way that it can corral you into.
Right.
We talked before about the walled garden concept, and the walled garden can mean, you know, like, Xbox game systems, like you can't put cartridges from other games in it. It's a walled garden. Facebook is a walled garden. You have to sign up and give them, at this point, your real name and phone number, probably to use it right. You know, the internet in North Korea is a walled garden. They keep out, and in China, they try to keep out the real internet and just have their internet. And I don't like being walled in. I resent it. Yeah. Oops, wrong
there button. Yeah, we need a board op, man. We need something to make
really
the music play right. And
Alex Jones has one. Alex Jones has one. Yeah,
Alex
but
Jones did
he
it.
Can afford
Alex
it.
Jones said it.
Alex Jones said it. He can afford it because he's selling that water softener.
Did you see this this link in the chat room about Amazon donating $30,000 to Seattle's King County Gun Safety Initiative? Those are where the gift cards that they give for gun buyback programs. When people go sell their handguns.
And this is so horrible because it's like, you know, I would like to boycott them, but I'm making about $100 a month from work I'll never have to do again on Amazon affiliate links.
Well, Amazon must be suffering from that problem you were just discussing. There's a problem with something most people use, listen to, or watch. And Amazon is that, man. That's the world marketplace. So I don't know. I guess it's a scratch your back, we'll scratch yours. And Amazon likes to do, like any big corporation, they like to do these little charity things so that they can use them as tax write-offs and so that they can look good for whoever may criticize them or attack them.
Do you think that if for some reason guns were really popular right now instead of really unpopular in the media, Amazon would be giving money to, you know, the NRA train children with gun safety program instead?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think it's just a corporate move or do you think that they have an agenda?
No, I think it's a corporate move, man.
Yeah.
Although, well, I guess it's because of ATF laws and a bunch of different regulations. It would be wonderful if Amazon would also be a gun marketplace.
You know, let's say if, you know, the two recent shootings, the one in Colorado and the one at the in Connecticut, like let's say that guy had come in there, pointed his gun, and some armed citizen with a concealed carry permit had pulled it out and blasted the guy before anybody got hurt. And the mainstream media wasn't insane, and they praised that 24/7. You know, guns would have a different.
Because they wouldn't. Because when it doesn't get out of hand like that, they don't even cover it. It makes the local news, but it never gets picked up by CNN or Fox or the national guys.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. I mean, because there were that same weekend, wasn't there some example of some guy in Texas who stopped what could have been a mass shooting?
Well, our friend in Iran is saying if they ban VPNs, there are so many other options it'll make your head spin. Type some of those options into the chat room, please, and let us know.
Yes, let us know, Saeed. Well, Saeed, of course.
Saeed called in last week, so we're going to have him call in next week. We don't have people the same 2 weeks in a row, but we'd like to know.
He lives in Iran, but he's always on Fiends chat and listening to Fiends, and he seems pretty savvy with the internet, despite whatever roadblocks the Iranian state.
And despite what the average American would think of someone in Iran with the internet, they probably think. That they're all sitting in ditches, you know, writing on clay with mud, or else they're Al-Qaeda and then they know computers, you know. So what Americans mostly think.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to buy drones. Scott Horton and Lou Rockwell were talking the other day, and they were talking about China, actually. And Lou was saying, well, how wonderful of a thing is it that China was so horribly statist and communist just a decade or two ago that people were starving to death en masse? And now you have giant cities and you have
giant polluted cities. And they always say, like, in the free market, there'd be pollution everywhere. And there is totally a not free market in China, and it's the most polluted place on earth.
Well, some places are, but some places aren't. And that's the point he was making, was we don't really see in the mainstream media or anywhere, really, we don't ever really see pictures of like Shanghai or Beijing or Tehran.
Go on Flickr and search any of those places, and there's tons of pictures.
You can find them, but you look these places up on your own, and you know, it's just like looking at New York or
and you get on a government watch list for looking them up.
Maybe you do, but
someone said it's cool to buy drones now, but not guns. That's true. Not for us though.
But you can buy a drone on Amazon. That's mm-hmm. true. But yeah, man, people are so close-minded sometimes and stuck off in their own mind and in what the media tells them, even if they're sort of alternative or freedom-y or liberty-oriented. You know, there's only so much you can seek out yourself, and the mainstream discourse can sometimes leak ideas into you, even through osmosis, even when you're not trying to let them leak into you. And I think that that's one of the ideas, is that if it's not America, then it's not pretty and it's not modern and there's not big buildings and skyscrapers.
Oh, no, it's totally not true, man. And Saeed in Iran just typed the options to VPNs that people can look up and check out. PP2P, L2TP, which is standard VPN, but you can use HTTPS proxy and SOX and UDP proxy.
Huh. What's there SOX?
What's SOX? It's another way of putting on your inner tubes and covering them with some leg warmers.
Your inner tube socks?
Tube. Apparently Iran is a tube-based economy when it comes to getting on the internet. The tubes. Yeah.
Well, hey, that brings up a nice point to help bring it full circle, too, is de facto freedom, you know, living in a place that maybe has.
That's why people from America are in Mexico, right. Because in Mexico, the cops are too inept and underfunded. I mean, they'll throw you in prison for a .38 revolver, but they got to find you, and it's harder for them to find you doing that than here, probably.
Right, right. And Iran, even though it's illegal to get booze, you can still get it. You can still drink it. You can still party.
And in Mexico, drugs are legal. A lot of people don't know that, but small amounts of all drugs are legal there now.
Decriminalized. But you know, drugs aren't really legal till you legalize the trade of them, right? It's not just, oh, it's fine to possess a little tiny bit. If you still say it's illegal and have vast penalties and a vast police state to stop people from transporting it, what good is that?
Until there's privately owned and operated vending machines on every corner, it's not really legal.
Right.
Alcohol's not really legal because they're, you know, you have to go to, in some places, a state-owned store and you have to show ID. And, you know, certain people can't buy it. A judge can bar you from buying alcohol if he doesn't like what you did.
Yeah. And if you buy it for somebody you like, say your 18-year-old cousin, you could go to jail.
Who's more mature than a lot of 40-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, that's so square, I guess that's the thing is I don't know. I feel like you got to get away from the people who are able to enforce the laws. And I don't know if that means moving somewhere or keeping a low profile or
we're doing neither.
As anonymous as possible.
We're doing none of those things.
We're doing
the opposite of all those things. I'm digging in and paying a mortgage, which means I plan to be here for 30 years at least. I am the opposite of anonymous. I'm bugging my own home right now with podcasting.
Right.
And I'm not keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
But you're doing what you want to do, so still,
you've got
some de facto freedom. Because
I know.
Would you want to be doing anything else? Would you want to shut up and keep your mouth quiet and turn your microphone off and hang it up or put it in its box and put it in the closet?
What I would really like is to be somewhere where I'm free in all the ways I want to be and broadcasting into the places that aren't free with the John has a long mustache messages.
Yeah. The Freedom Fighter from Afar.
I think that'd be a good name for today's episode. John has a long mustache. Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds kind of kinky.
I was going to call it Lysander Spooner is rolling over in his grave, but Izzy, he knew.
He knew, man. It was clear to him hundreds of years ago. It was clear to him in the 1800s. He knew, man. He knew, and he knew it was BS. That's why he wrote No Treason, man. That's why his whole thing was, I didn't sign this freaking Constitution. There's no such thing as treason because I never agreed to these terms. And so if I violate a contract I never signed, what good is that? You know, you have nothing on me.
You used the word statheist earlier, which define statheist for people that don't know.
Statheist. Yeah, do we have it in the glossary yet? I didn't know it was too new for
that. We could go read some glossary for the last 15 minutes. That'd be good. We haven't gotten through that yet.
I like that so much.
Okay.
I guess it's important. But
it's important. We'll do it sometime. But
A
statheist is an atheist who believes they are acting out of logic and science by being an atheist, but accepts the state, which completely defies logic and science. And the name of this episode, because of that, is going to be something I noticed the other day. You can't spell statistic without statist. And they actually have the etymology from the same word, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Which is kind of why one of the reasons I try to stick to the moral argument more than anything else. Although there's just as much reasons why that, or just as many reasons why that doesn't work. But
The economic argument is good for people who can't yet get the moral argument. You know, I mean, if you can't convince a neocon drugs should be legal because you have no right to point guns at people for putting something in their body that doesn't affect you, then you can use the economic argument. And the economic argument is what's going to be, is what's driving this thing in Congress. And, right. You know, the argument I love is the one that Shane Sheed uses in our movie, which is Republicans hate welfare for, you know, they hate food stamps and welfare for poor people, but they would love to arrest somebody for drugs and put them in a cage for years and pay far more money than welfare or food stamps would cost to house, clothe, and do healthcare for that person in a cage.
Right, right. But the thing with statistics
I think real reason they're trying to get this into Congress now is to divide and conquer. I think that they are going to I really think it's about guns and weed, because it's going to be the ATMFE, you know, the alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, firearms, and explosives. I really think what they're planning is they're going to decriminalize pot to the point where it's like alcohol, and but a little not like alcohol, more like you have to have a card to buy it legally, and you have to register to buy it legally and have it legally.
But the trade-off is you have can't to have give guns. Up your concealed yep. carry permit.
Yep. Yep, I really think so. I think that's what they're going
to
do.
You won't pass a background check when you try to buy a gun.
Yep, because they've already laid the groundwork for that. I think that's the plan. No one's talking about that. I want to go on record. That's my prediction. All right, go on.
No, that's really interesting. Maybe we could dwell on that for a little bit.
Dwell. That's like the operative word in today's episode. I mean, I think there's been a lot of light and hope in today's episode, but it went to some dark places, but the world is dark, man. The state makes things dark. The state statistically destroys everything it touches and makes it worse, not better.
It does, but since there's statistics, there's so much unseen. Like, the government will say things like, well, GDP grows this much, you know, 50%, 20% during World War II, and that's why we recovered, because of all this GDP growth. Of course, what's unseen there and what they don't tell you is that they include government spending on things like bombs that blow up as GDP growth. Now, that's not really adding to the productiveness of society. That's not really helping consumers. It's just making something to then blow it up. It's wasteful.
Someone said they never talk about how much money they spend on military welfare. And I said, or corporate welfare, or
right.
parentheses, insert any aspect of human
any
existence,
aspect
close
of human
parentheses,
existence.
Welfare.
Yeah. And so statistics can totally be that sleight of hand to show people something positive and make them forget what's unseen or never even question what's unseen.
The government tyranny has gotten worse while we've been doing this episode. It really has.
Yes.
Somewhere
yes.
See, in
we
America,
need a statistic that
somebody, yeah. We need a clock. We need a right, like not right. a death clock, but a tyrant clock.
Every 5 minutes, the government is 5% more tyrannical or something like
it's
that.
It's probably not that high, but because otherwise it would be Nazi Germany in a week or less. But I really feel like we need some sort of statistic to follow the state, since they're based on the same word. Statists love statistics too, but they cherry pick them.
Yeah. Now with 2% more statism.
Yeah. But
10 more things are illegal now.
During this, I think that'd be a good name for this episode is during, by the time you listen to this episode, you'll have less freedom. That doesn't sound like a sale for the Freedom Fiends, but.
That's true though. And truth is the most important thing, right? As long as we have our truth. There's some hope. You know, it's not just where there's life, there's hope, but where there's truth and still people telling the truth, there's hope. I read 1984 and I still think there's truth in it, even though Winston gets shot in the head and gives up and does say 2 plus 2 equals 5 at the end. There's still hope because there was an environment, even though it was so completely statist and so completely controlled, Winston was able to get some truth into his head at some point, which means it's likely that somebody else will, and then somebody else will. So as long as there's truth, there's hope.
Yeah. Ben Stone didn't call in, man. It's a drag.
Well, maybe he's out somewhere where there's a lot of de facto freedom.
In the woods watching squirrels. I did a good interview with him yesterday. I did a good interview with him. If you want to go to Anarchy Gumbo Podcast at kittyfeet.com. The episode's called something like Ben Stone and Michael Dean Grow Old Gracefully, No Homo. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to reblog that. I said he should, but I hadn't told him the title yet. I think that might offend some of his listeners.
The No Homo? You think they would like the No Homo?
Yeah. Well, I decided Ben is not a Quaker this month. He's an Amish. He's the bad Amish because he is pretty much without things that Amish people are without. He doesn't have internets.
Although he's in a camper that's powered by gas, not horse and buggies.
Yeah, but by my standards, he's the bad Amish. The bad Amishman. What do you call Amish? What's the... I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think they're just called Amish.
Yeah.
I would like somebody to inform me or enlighten me as to where exactly the Amish draw the line and why they draw the line there.
Hmm.
Is it technology specifically from the time of Jesus?
I actually know.
Okay.
They don't use good Amish, hardcore Amish, which is kind of weird because there's actually all these, there's like five Amish reality shows now. On like three different channels.
Thing?
Yeah, it's a popular thing, but I knew before this.
It's like pawn stores.
It is. It is. But yeah, there's even one called Amish Mafia, which is like Amish guys that go around like aggressing on other Amish to like tell them what to do, which I don't think is good Amish. But my dad has had a lot of dealings with the Amish because he has a Christmas tree farm that also has some tall oaks and maples in it, and he sells a tree a year or two trees a year to the Amish woodmakers from Pennsylvania, a few miles away. And basically they don't use technology. A good Amish will not use technology that connects them to what they call the English world, which, you know, the Rastas would call Babylon. They will use a computer to keep business records, but they won't connect it to the internet. That's a really good example right there. They will have a phone in their barn for emergencies only or for doing business that they consider ethical, but they won't have one in their phone in their home and chatter with their friends on it.
Hmm.
So, and you know, really they were some of the first people in modern times to run up against goons for trying to practice religious freedom. I mean, basically, in the 60s, some of them were raided, and now they're going after them for raw milk. But in the 60s, there's this movie called The Amazing Bread Machine or The Fabulous Bread Machine. Have you ever seen it? It opens. No. It's kind of like Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, made in 1970, you know, on film. It was like some ANCAPs. I don't know if they're called that, but they basically were. And it opens with three reenactments of citizens having guns pointed at their heads by goons. And some of them are Amish. And the Amish don't fight back. They're pacifists. So they're really targets for the feds. But it started in the 60s, basically when the IRS went after them. No, it was because they won't do social security withholding. They won't do insurance because they feel it's like a form of gambling or something. It's really weird. Or they want to do it themselves and they have a biblical basis for that. And they have a lot of what they do, they have a biblical basis for that really is rubbing up against the federal government right now. They won't inoculate their kids. You know, they won't give them psych meds. They won't put them in public school. They do a lot of things that are becoming harder and harder to not do.
Right. Right.
Good for the Amish for sticking it out and still being there.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I guess they have some level of autonomy. I mean, it's not illegal to be Amish yet, right?
No, and they're a really difficult – they're an easy target to pick on, but they're a PR nightmare to pick on because they are unarmed and they won't fight back. They will just hold their ground, you know, like – You can point guns at them and say, we're going to take everything you've worked your whole life for, and they won't budge an inch. And that really looks, that is not what the federal government wants to fight against, is an unarmed person with conviction, because that looks, people like to write newspaper articles about things like that.
Although, I mean, they're getting better and better at it all the time, right? I mean, that's
who's getting better at what?
The state is getting better and better at tyrannizing these groups.
At branding the cattle. Branding the cattle. Putting
them
in cages.
Well, I guess my example, the example I'm trying to point to is Israel and Palestine. I watched almost half of this movie called Five Broken Cameras, and they're all peaceful protesters. There's Israeli settlers taking their land literally by force. They just bulldoze parts of it every day start building new things, and they'll go protest. These guys will go and they'll hold signs up, or there's some arcane law about how they can't bulldoze a concrete structure, so they'll go and throw up a bunch of bricks and mortar real quick and say it's concrete, and it'll still get bulldozed, and they'll get beat up and they'll get shot at.
Well, they also aren't allowed to buy concrete. I thought it was because they could reinforce things against Israeli bombs, but isn't it illegal or highly regulated to import concrete into Palestine?
I wouldn't be surprised if that were part of the embargo.
Maybe that's why, because they can use it as a loophole.
Well, the loophole didn't work for them. And I guess my point is that nobody, you know, people do write newspaper articles and there are journalists out there, but they don't get the kind of appeal, you know, that it would if it weren't these dirty brown Muslims. And so, you know, yes, it can be a PR nightmare for governments to do these things, but
they
do them anyway, and they're getting better and better at getting things to not be PR nightmares for them, or at dividing and conquering to where some people will be outraged for them, but then they say, but then other people like your Israel Firsters or your Fox News watchers will be like, so into the dichotomy of us versus them of, well, what are you, some kind of pinko liberal? Kill them all, you know, that they even get more, they give more support to the state to do these horrible things.
Yep. So you got any closing arguments and redemption in the third act here before we slip into non-speaking mode for a few days?
Okay. My redemption is, you know what? I don't care, man. I feel good. I'm sort of at peace with myself and what I'm doing. And I guess that's where it really starts, is being true to yourself, speaking the truth, like I said, where truth is hope, and that starts internally and outcrops from there. And it's contagious too. If you're honest and you have self-knowledge and you portray that and it makes your life better, other people, the people around you, will notice that and at least try. And so I think that for that reason, the liars and the rapists and the statists, but I repeat myself, they can lose.
That is
they
redundant.
They can lose because of that. Yeah.
Nicely said, man. And my only redemption is I feel better than I did 2 hours ago when we started. And I'm going back to back. I'm doing another interview in an hour with a crypto anarchist who is an expatriate from the U.S. And I'll have lots of questions for him. He won't even tell me where he lives. It's somewhere in the Caribbean. But that's it.
All right. And due to technical difficulties, we'll forego our outro here.
Okay.
And we'll just leave it at that. Thank you so much, fiends.
Worms.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com. Worms.